culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know, I don't know whether I love it when it happens or I hate it when it happens. I don't know. I think I love it when it happens. It happened again when I was coming down the steps. Boom, something came to me like that. Boom. See, I've been sitting upstairs for an hour and a half, doing some show prep, reading some stuff, doing a little bit of praying, getting my mind right for the show. And I think I got a show set up and I come walking down the steps and boom, something drops in me. And I want to share it with you. So communion today, all right? Those of you just tuning in right now, we're going to do communion. We're going to do it here in a few minutes. So I'll give you time to go get you some type of element, something to chew on, something to drink is really, really all you need. So we'll get to that here. I got a conversation going on my text message yet. I'm sorry. First of all, I want to say thanks for Gary Pierce. Thank God for Gary Pierce. I spoke last night up at a group in Avon Lake, Ohio, which doesn't mean anything probably to most of you. Avon Lake is literally up on Lake Erie. It's about a 2.5-hour drive from Michelle and I to roll up here last night. And I'm heading somewhere, okay? Hang on. And, of course, Gary lives about maybe an hour from up there. And so we met Gary and we rode up there. And I just always appreciate Gary going, being so organized and having me so organized and all of that. So I just want to publicly tip my cap to Gary. Thank him for what's going on. And if you guys want to, I mean, not if you want to, pray for Gary and Debbie Pierce, because Debbie's mom is 97 years old and is in a real strong end of life stage and just a lot of issues going on with, some of you have been through that, right? End of life stage and with a mother, with a father, and brothers and sisters, not all on the same page. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? So just pray for comfort and direction in them. None of us ever want our parents to die, right? None of us do. But at some point, you know, he said, Lord, how much longer here, Lord? How much longer? So there's somebody you can put on your prayer list. Pray for Gary and Debbie. But I spoke last night to the Republican, what was the name of it? It doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. Something County Republicans. Now, I don't know if you know this. I'm not a Republican. I mean, I am, but I'm not. If you were going to ask me, if you was going to have me define myself, and you gave me 10 things to define myself as, a Republican wouldn't be one of the 10. I tend to vote Republican because those are the guys most times closest to what I believe. But walked into the room last night. It's a pretty good crowd. I don't know, maybe 100 people. I don't know how many were there. And you guys know me. I come in, my opportunity comes. I go up swinging, and so I was ready to go up swinging. I'm tying something together here, okay? Spencer, if you could real quickly, let me start with a scripture today. I just sent it to you, Spencer. My wife just screamed at me, Lorain County. Lorain County Republicans, and it was an honor to be there. Yes, thanks, honey. Boy, it's good to have a wife keeps you on your toes. And I was coming down the steps, and the Lord said to me, peculiar, peculiar. And I thought, I was trying to figure out a adjective. Is that the right word? I've tried to figure out an adjective for the way I don't want to make this about me, but I'm the only guy I can talk about here, but it'll relate to some of you. I can sometimes think, I can't, why sometimes do I feel so out of place? Why do I feel so out of place? And then another thing at the same time, sometimes I feel out of place, and sometimes the atmosphere changes when I walk in the room. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because see, Mark Trump could jump all over this thing, and Stephanie could jump all over this thing. I think all of us, to some degree, carry an aura about us. Did you ever notice the old saints, when they used to show pictures of the old saints and they had the halo around them? That's because there was an aura around them, an aura. They gave off a particular type of energy. It's the only way that I'd be able to explain it. And I often feel out of place because when I walk into the room, boy, this sounds arrogant. Please, it's not arrogance. When I walk into the room, there's something coming off of me that attracts and repels at the same time. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
So when I always walk in the room, I'm trying to feel, is it repellent or is it magnetic attraction? And it really, I came to a conclusion. Well, let's just go here. I'm in Peter 2. It's up on the screen. We're for laying us up. My wife yelled down and said, they might be listening. And she's right. So I listen, folks, I don't do this to besmirch anybody. Please, I just share my heart. You guys know I'm a straight shooter, straight talker, right? Just tell them like it is. And I would never publicly make somebody feel uncomfortable unless they deserved it. Those people were very, very gracious to me last night. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Well, I could do a show and a half right there. not just right there. Laying aside of them, huh? As newborn babes, this is talking about the transformation that should take place inside of us when we become believers. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And if so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I've tasted the Lord. He's gracious. He's good. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. Think about that. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Jesus Christ was disallowed of men. They didn't want him around. Can I tell you the truth? They didn't want him around. Disallowed indeed of men, but he was chosen of God and he was precious. So you have two things that are at work here. A group of people don't want to hear it, and an anointing of a man who was sent. You see in the picture? And then he says this. He says that you, by the way, are also lively stones. And you are built up a spiritual house. See, that goes back to the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is the temple. You build up a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood. That's not something I go and get ordained to become. That's not going and doing, I don't know, what they even call those things when I was, Joe Silver, remember the rigmarole you had to go through to be a priest? I don't remember what the heck that stuff was called. You build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it's contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone. It's Jesus, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I'm rarely confounded. And you therefore which believe, he is precious. Wow. But unto them which be disobedient or non-believers, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is now made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Folks, do you see Jesus Christ there? Do you see love and mercy and tolerance? Is that what we're being told here? He said, no, he's a stumbling block. He's a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, peculiar people. Wow. that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Wow. Hey, Spencer, look up peculiar. Through the mister. A confession here. I hate small talk. If I walk into a room of 15 people, I can never, I said last night again, I can never be a politician. I can't do the small talk. I can't do it because I'm peculiar. So our good friend, Mr. Noah, said that peculiar is several different ones, right? Appropriate, belonging to a person and to him only. Wow. Singular, particular, special. Now, I realized again last night, and as I was riding home with Michelle and Gary, I realized that how particular I am. How particular some of you are. Hey, Mark Trump, you're particular. I'm sorry, peculiar. You're peculiar, Mark. That's why you have trouble. Fitting in sometimes. Randy, you're a peculiar guy. Hey, Jeff Nell, you're peculiar. Myra, you're peculiar. Huh? Naomi, you're peculiar. And see, we should understand it's a compliment. It's a compliment. Peculiar people. Somebody that stands out. And the Lord gave me this. Bear with me a second. I don't want to be casting aspersions at anybody or in any way, shape, or form puff myself up. I'm trying to make an illustration. I felt like a fish out of water last night. I mean, I did my thing. Some wonderful people in the room. But I feel like more and more, it just came to me last night. It wasn't about last night. It came to me last night how often I feel out of place. Because my commitment and my deep love of the Lord is peculiar. Most people don't have it.
Amen, Coach.
Folks, do you understand that? My own family, your own family, they think you're crazy. See, you're not crazy. You're peculiar. You are special. You have a singular, particular thing about you that other people don't have. And it's a gift. It's a gift.
Amen. Amen, Coach.
And thanks, Mark. And I want to encourage you today, because you're going to walk into places where you are going to be the oddest person in the room. I'm not an odd guy, I don't think. I think I'm a pretty normal guy. Now, you may not think so, but I think I'm pretty normal. But there's this aura that comes off of me. It's a Holy Spirit aura of what? I think non-compromise. And most of us live in a compromising world. And because we, especially in a political environment, right? Politics is compromise. And so when you walk in the room, I'm not making fun of the people. Please understand, I'm not talking about those people. But it is rare to see a non-compromising Christian. Would anybody agree? Somebody put your hand up. So when you run into one, when you run into a non-compromising Christian, you pull back and say, dude, that dude's, you don't use the word peculiar, but that's the word that should be on your lip. Whew, that dude's different. That dude, whew, whoo.
Boom.
And it's both attracting and repelling at the same time. So that realization came to me last night. And for the life of me, I cannot stand before a crowd of people and understand why they don't want to serve the Lord. Why don't want, why, if I'm running for politics, why I don't want to lead with Jesus? I don't get it. Why don't you lead with Jesus? I'm not, listen, it's not those people last night. This is a revelation that came to me last night. I'm peculiar. I read something this morning. Mike Heath got to meet face to face last night with the governor. First time he'd ever met Governor Paul LePage. First time Mike had ever met him. And I sense from what I read from Mike today that it was a peculiar moment. Because Paul, who's running for governor of Maine, is not a peculiar Christian. He's just a normal one, whatever that means. And Mike has a peculiar aura on him. A peculiar. And friends, we have to realize that this is part of the way that the Lord has made us. It's part of the anointing that he's put upon you. I was thinking of Paul Gosselin last night. I don't even know Paul. I've met him through the show. But I would imagine that he would walk into some of those doctors' meetings and the room would want to clear. Because there's something coming off of him that they don't have and they're afraid of. It's called conviction. It's good. And for the most part, those of us who swim in both Christian circles and non-Christian circles or lukewarm Christian circles need to understand the gift and the anointing and the peculiarism, I don't even know if that's a word, of what we carry. And I would rather dig ditches than please men. I'm peculiar. I don't want to cause conflict. I'd swear I don't. I'd love to be Mr. Go Along to get along. I cannot do it. I'm peculiar. So I wanted to get that off my chest today because I think there's some of you out there that are dealing with the same thing. I think you're peculiar. You repel some people and you attract others. Right? So rest in the fact that the Lord's called you and he's placed you. He's placed you into the kingdom, as the scripture says, for such a time as this. Play your role. Play your role. Quit worrying about who loves you. Quit worrying about who gives you standing ovations. Quit worrying about all that stuff. I went into that meeting last night, and it was Jesus from the very first words. And they're not used to it in political circles. How did we ever get to the point where Jesus Christ and truth is not first and foremost in political circles? How did that happen? That's the battle we're fighting against.
Amen.
Now I've blown everything I was going to talk about, and I got a bunch of hands up. So go ahead, Naomi. We're going to take communion. I promise. Go ahead, Naomi.
You've been walking in my shoes. Wow. Yeah. You know, there's times when I walk into a room and I have to say, I'm sorry, I'm not the priest. I'm not the confession booth. Confession is closed because they just start confessing to me. Mm. Well, you know what? I only eat this once in a while. You know what? You know, and you've been walking in my shoes and I am learning that lesson like crazy.
Yes, ma'am. There's an aura. There's an attraction. Jerry.
Morning, Coach. Morning, everybody. I just wanted to say thank you, Coach, and God bless you because you literally answered the prayer that I asked last night. Just thank you for being loyal to the Holy Spirit and listening. God bless you, Coach.
I thought, Jerry, he hammered me coming down the steps. I couldn't not hear him. I could not hear it. Come on in, Mr. Peculiar Mark Trump. Come on in.
Well, you're hitting on all cylinders today, Coach. I just want to take this peculiar thing one more step into the people who are not.
Yes.
We choose to be peculiar. Somewhere along the way, each of us peculiar people made a choice to step out and be who we are. Mm-hmm. We came out from her. See, the people who are not peculiar, they don't want to be peculiar, Coach.
Yeah.
They want to be like someone yep. else. So yep. here's your caution, is be very cautious if you want to be like another man. Be peculiar in Christ alone. You are unique. Be peculiar in Christ and do not be like another man. That's where we fail, Coach. Well done. I love this lesson.
Well, hey, listen, because the Bible says it's like fire caught up in my bones. Anybody know him? Huh? And I'm telling you, I have this debate with myself all the time. No, don't say that. Yeah, yeah, say that. No, don't say that. Yeah, all the time. It goes on and on and on and on. Like fire caught up in my bones. And I know if I say it, it's going to, pardon me, piss somebody off.
But well, you're peculiar, aren't you? I'm peculiar.
Yeah, yeah. And those who know me, my wife of all people, she knows the real me. And she knows how some of these things I do. come on in, Dr. Paul.
I don't know if my video is working.
It isn't. It's not. We can hear you.
Okay, I'm not sure why, but Carl Jung said it best. He says, "Show me the normal person, and I'll cure him." So we live in a material world, and everybody's kind of climbing the ladder, and they're just reaching out to be the next person that they look up to.
Amen.
I spent 30, 40 years being a complete catastrophe in those guys' mind. And I've had 50 complaints by the Board of Medicine, and every time it's the same thing. They don't understand that I became a doctor for one reason, and it's just because it's fun to do. It's the most meaningful thing in the world and has nothing to do about money, and they can't understand that. They do not trust me because I don't do that. I just can't do that.
That's right. Money and prestige, right? And social events. Yeah, I'm with you. You're a peculiar person, Paul. That's all there is to it. You're peculiar, right? I was thinking last night because ran into a gentleman running for U.S. Senate last night, and here he went to Kenyon College and had some connection with him. And, I said, let me be governor. Elect me governor, and I'll clean this mess up in 4 years. But I ain't running for it. I can't go around and kiss people's butts. And I can't do the small talk thing. I can't do it. You want me to fix the state? I'll fix the state. But you're going to have to appoint me because I ain't running for it. Come on. you with me? Does that make sense? Does everybody get out of the way? Let me do it. I'll clean it up. But I'm not going to go around and kiss this guy's butt because he'll give me money and go around and kiss this guy's butt because he.
Amen.
I can't do it. Sorry. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, Coach, while you're talking about peculiar, you brought up a word that you talked about yesterday, and that's compromise. Oh, Coach, why can't you just compromise and make it sound like compromising is being reasonable? But let's think about how we normally use the word compromise. I mean, if you're driving down the road and you hit a chuck hole and you bend your rim and now your tire's leaking, your wheel has now been compromised. Yep. If a tree limb falls on your roof, all right, and now there's a hole in it and it's letting water in when it rains, the integrity of your roof has now been compromised. Yep. That doesn't sound like a good thing to me.
No, it isn't a good thing. It isn't. Only in politics and in the world is it a good thing. Reggie, peculiar person. Come on in, Reggie.
Thank you, Coach. It's an honor being peculiar. My son and I were just talking about this yesterday. It's not new age. It's energy. It's an anointing. It's something like, yes. Since I've been a little girl, I was popular, but I was peculiar. I got kicked out of so many classes in high school because I argued points that I knew were true. It's just,
you didn't conform, Reggie. You didn't conform, did you?
Yeah. And to be honest, Coach, I feel very peculiar in this queue. I do. I just do.
Because you are.
Everywhere I go, when I speak truth, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to tell you something I don't know.
Amen, Reggie.
It is true. You do, but you still walk in like you own the place because the Lord is with you and you have to speak truth. I don't go to political things because I don't believe that those politics are going to work.
But Reggie, here's part of the other, folks. Please understand this. If I walk into a room, a lot of times I'm uncomfortable in the room, but the aura gives a sense of arrogance. Are you guys following what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I walk into a room. I feel uncomfortable. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I want to serve the Lord. And the aura that comes off of me, they don't know how to receive it. And so they think it's arrogance. When it couldn't be any further from the truth, it's not arrogance. Actually, it's more grief. It's more grief as I look around and see how lost and confused some of these people are. It's not arrogance.
May I say one more thing, Coach, just real quick? Yeah. I don't want to steal time. But so this is a really good example. Me and my kids, they always say, look, Mom, it happened again. It doesn't matter where we go as a family. It will be dead as doornails in there. We sit down, we'll be the first or second people, and literally we'll look up and I'm like, it just, there are all these people. That's that energy. It's filled. We're like, how does this happen? It happens every time. It's so odd.
Amen. There's something to that energy, isn't there, Mark Trump? Isn't there something to it, friends? Come on, you mean to tell me that you can't walk into a room and feel something coming off of somebody? You can't walk in and measure the temperature in the room? What the heck do you think that? What do you think that is? So I'm sitting there last night before I go to speak. And again, I'm not making an example of last night. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my goodness, the energy I got and compared to what I'm feeling here, ooh, this might be a nuclear explosion. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? I don't want to blow the place up, but I know what's coming out. Go ahead, Joe. Come on in.
Well, Coach, I just thought of a new name for a church, Peculiar Church.
Amen.
Huh? Who would step foot into a peculiar church of like-minded people like us?
Yeah. Amen. Well, we aren't all like-minded. That's what makes us so good. I mean, we are like-minded at the heart, but we're not the same. That's what makes it so unique. Myra, and then Larry.
Hey, saints. Good morning. Hey, praise the Lord. I'm peculiar. And
you
I'm
are.
So glad. Amen. I belong to a spiritual family that they're unique.
Amen.
Hallelujah for that.
Hallelujah. You're an oddball, Myra. You're an oddball, Myra. That's what they would call. I'm glad I am. Larry.
Yeah, you know, on the subject of compromise, compromise involves good for evil, good for evil, trying to find a balance. But there is no real balance in God's
Can't
word
be.
Because the God's There's word none. Says a little leaven, leaveneth the whole.
Larry. Amen, world. Larry. No compromise with truth. There can't be, folks. Huh?
And then about being in amongst a group of Republicans. Now, I wasn't at the meeting, so I can say something. I came on me yesterday that the Republicans, GOP, should stand for a new set of words, gutless other party.
But it's full of good people, Larry. The people in that room last night, they were good people. They were good people.
But they're still gutless. They're gutless, or they would be doing something else than what they're doing.
Well, I'm talking about not the politicians. I'm talking about the people who at least cared enough to come to the daggone meeting. Those people, I credit them. It's the same thing. They don't really know what to do. We don't really know what to do other than change elected officials. How's that work for us? Bobby, come on in.
Yeah, 2 points. I mean, I'm walking through Walmart and I feel bad things coming off almost everybody. And yeah. it's like an out-of-body experience because I'm literally in the movie They Live. Like I'm watching a movie when I'm walking through Walmart. And the second thing is, in the gym, again, I feel bad things coming almost off everybody. And I'm very standoffish, staying to myself, observing everything. And I've had 2 people come to me. One was a guy that approached me, and he's all tatted up. Former drug addict, and it literally led into an incredible discussion right in the center of the gym area. And I'm not lying to you, about a month ago I began to pray over him, and that was a remarkable moment. And the next thing was last week, a guy and his son approached me, and I was working with his son a little bit. It's like, if you just wait, the right people come to you.
It's a magnet. It's a magnet. That's why you got to open your mouth. Gotta open your mouth. They'll come to you. Mark and Paul.
Coach, you ever been out on the ocean?
Yeah.
I know Larry has. And when you're way out on the ocean and you don't see any light, it's dark. So keep this in mind. Everyone's got a bioluminescence, which is a visible light emanating. They have a field. An aura, whether you are of Christ or of another spirit. Now, what causes the field? Your mind. what causes your mind to create the field, your spirit. So when you enter a space, all of these spirits are in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So your spirit is interacting with their spirit, and then you get a feeling, and your mind reacts, and then your spirit emanates that.
Amen, amen.
Now, if you open chat, I'll show you the scientific proof. Okay? They've determined that this bioelectricity can be controlled and improve health, even cancer. They are calling it out now. So if you open the chat, I'll drop something.
It's open. It's open. He just opened it. By the way, Mark, I was telling somebody last night, talking about that infrared sauna. Mm-hmm. There's something to those waves. I can't even see them, but there's something. My toenails look better every day.
Amen. Amen. So you do influence an environment. And remember about light. What do all peculiar people have if you're peculiar in Christ? Your light. The roaches scurry and other people who are lost come to the light, Coach. That's just the way Jesus works.
It either repels or attracts, doesn't it, Mark? Some don't like the light.
Amen.
Amen. Bioelectricity, the current that flows between our cells, is fundamental to our ability to think and talk and walk. In addition, there's a growing body of evidence that recording and altering the bioelectric fields of cells and tissues plays a vital role in wound healing, and even potentially fighting diseases like cancer and heart disease. Wow, this is so deep, man. This is so deep.
So that's my LinkedIn, and I'm starting to post more and more stuff to make people think. Now, the reason I do it in LinkedIn is because that can be hacked. So they can remotely manage all of those signals now. Okay. This is the nefarious part. You got nuclear health and you got nuclear bombs.
Wow. So Mark, maybe it's because of that aura. Maybe that's why they want to put me in a concentration camp, huh? They got to separate my aura from my energy from Paul Webb's or whoever else it is. Come on in, Paul. Good point, Mark.
Yeah. What you're talking about when you speak and people say, who's this person? Well, you know, when Jesus started doing his ministry, they said the same thing. Who's this man that's going out here healing the sick and casting out the demons? Who does he think he is? And
that's right.
That's just a confidence. It's a godly confidence.
Confirmation, Paul. It's a confirmation.
That's what it is.
And so I always say the same thing when my wife or somebody say, how'd the talk go? I say, well, I don't know if they heard it, but they felt it, right? They felt it. And to me, that's more important than feeling it than whether they heard it. We could argue that. Jim, come on in, then Jeff. Are you there, Jim? We can't hear you. I don't know if you unhung. Jeff.
Coach, here's a lowdown on last night, and you're hitting on just the same points. This happened last night. We've had some good meetings through the week. Fredericktown School Board meeting Tuesday night, I got to chat with each one of them afterwards and said, we will be praying for you that some good comes out of these schools. They thanked me. Last night, I knew the woman that was going to be speaking. Well, it didn't have a big crowd as normal. I had about 20 people. I knew this lady was going to speak. They're really not wanting to hear her. She's arrogant, rude, obnoxious, ripping them. Just
she has a different aura about her. She's peculiar.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So I told Tom and Dennis, I said, I got to sign up first. I got to take the floor before she does. Because she wants lawsuits, attorneys, and she's boldly. She told me before the meeting started, I have 500 people in our group, and not a one is here. They don't want to be around her. They do not want to show. So I get up there and start going through scripture. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. I said, which God do you serve? Handed out your sheets. I said, no, let me tell you people. God is not Allah. Allah is not God. Buddha is not God. It's Jesus Christ, the way, the truth. And boy, they were listening. So only two speakers, I took advantage of it. I thought, they're going to let me go for a while. Because these people are starting to like us in these school board meetings. They want to hear this stuff. Because they don't know what to do. They're just scared. So they let me go 10 minutes and 30 seconds or something. And they're all listening, smiling, nodding their heads. And I knew at that point, okay, I need to just walk off here. It's done. Don't let them run me off. She got up there and they told her twice, you're done. She ended up leaving the meeting early, mad, put a post online after we got home. She gave up. She's walking away from it. Done. Nobody went. She was hot. But I told him it's about truth. So we ended the meeting. Tom said, They all hung around a little bit afterwards. I'm standing back here talking to these. One of the school board ladies, some of them are starting to like me because I've been ripping them some of the other meetings. Last night I went with answers. Here's what we got to do. Here's what we, you know, a different twist to it. She come back, went to say something. Tom said something to her. She said, no, I want to talk to that guy. She's pointing to me. I'm like, what's she want to talk to me for? Then Pastor Matt added some stuff in the meeting. He said, I agree with JC. What he's bringing to these meetings, I agree with. He told them all. So Pastor Matt, we're all standing around, board members, some of the crowd. He says, oh, I got a prayer request. We got a man dying in our church. And I looked at him and said, is that Tim? And I've never met Tim, but I've heard the stories of Tim being over there in his church. So he said, yeah, the family's just asking for prayer for the family. And I thought he meant right now. He kind of meant you people just pray for that family because them and that group know this family. So I just lifted the Bible, started praying. All of them bowed their heads. They were all into it. You know what I mean? And we ended the meeting. It was, the whole meeting was great for the evening. And then, but it was good.
So Jeff, I salute you and I ask the question, why will we as Christian believers, this is the R I'm talking about here. Why will we not lead with Jesus? Why do we not lead with Jesus? And see, all the problems are so vast. It comes back to truth and lies. And why do we as Christians lead with Jesus? Why do we hide it? Because we do.
Coach, I told him last night, I said, we got to stop using the word God. I said, what God? God of your imagination? The God of self? What God is it? Now, they all had your sheets. There's thing yesterday. It was good. They were listening.
Amen. Plant seeds. All you can do. Jeff, you're peculiar. Julie, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. I forget the guy's name that was talking about Walmart. And I believe the Lord will open opportunities for us.
Amen.
To share the gospel with people, because I think Jesus gives us that discernment on who, like he was saying, he knew the war or whatever, you know, and it's just like, there's your opportunity to share about my son. So I just want to share that.
Amen. You got to open your mouth. We're witnesses. We're peculiar people, right? Come on. Nobody else is doing it. We got to do it. Kevin. Jim.
Coach, can you imagine how the air must have changed when Lord Jesus would walk into a room?
Oh, I can't imagine.
I mean, wow. And you remember one time I told you, if Lord Jesus walked into most churches, they would not like the message that he had to preach.
Amen. Well, Kevin, here's the truth. It should change when we walk into the room.
Amen. Amen.
It should change. Dale, come in. And Roger.
Well, amen, Coach. You know, peculiar creates curiosity. Curiosity does one of two things. Either one, you try to disown it, don't want to hear it, don't want to. Otherwise, you come to this thing. Two passages of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about that it says the things that is written, the eyes have not seen, the ears not heard, which not entered the heart of man. It says, for God has revealed them to the Spirit, for the Spirit searches out all things, even the depths of God. For who amongst men know the thought of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except for the Spirit of God. And it goes to say, good things we also speak not in word taught by human wisdom, but in those that are not the same. Now, 2 Corinthians, brother, this one happens all the time, brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 also, down to verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him who is in every place. For we are
either the
fragrance of Christ to God amongst those who are being saved, and also the stench of death to those who are perishing.
Wow, there you go.
Amen. Amen, Dale.
What are they smelling, huh? What are they smelling? Roger, then Michelle, then Jim. Well, Roger, Michelle.
Here's my question, or maybe my comment. Is it being peculiar, or is the truth that is changing people? See, I think you can put a lot of emphasis on peculiar. I can't even say the word. But it really is not that changes people's hearts. It's not what I dress like. It's not really how I present things. It is the truth of his word, which the Holy Spirit then moves to change people.
Mm. That's right. But
I mean,
again,
I go back to Paul. Paul never changed the message, but it is clear from Scripture that he adapted how he presented it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a question. It's God's truth. It's his word. If I go into a meeting and I calmly stand up, or I stand up and more verbose, I don't believe my presentation is the foundation of the change. It is the truth of his word, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit using me to present the truth that makes the movement for possible change.
Amen. That's aura, Roger. Amen. Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. Yes, I think the Walmart story speaks to all of us here. This is from, you had Dr. Mosley on your show last year, and this is out of his book, The Laws of Life, Law 22 from Proverbs, the law of the gift, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men, which is exactly what you guys are talking about. Your gifts are opening up opportunities for you. So whatever it is you're good at is opening a door for you to do it for the Lord. If you can cook, cook for the Lord. If you can coach, coach for the Lord. If you can argue, argue for the Lord. Amen, guys.
Amen, Rochelle. Amen. You nailed it.
And remember, you're peculiar. What makes you peculiar is because not everybody has that gift, right? Not everybody has it. Jim, come on in. Jim, are you there? Jim Carbo. Julie, did you want back in? I'm sorry. Jim's probably trying hard to get his phone to work. I know how that works. Let me shift gears here. Can I shift gears on you? How much time? We're going to take communion. Going to do that here in a second. I was trying to figure out all night how to react to the Supreme Court decision yesterday. All day, all evening, I was trying to react to whether I should be happy or sad. Because people say, well, golly, there are no mandates. No, that, by the way, do you have any idea how many lawsuits that's just opened America up to? That people were forced to take a vaccine. They couldn't have done it. But what I haven't been able to get away from is how can the Supreme Court say that it's okay for a hospital to force somebody to take a shot to work there, but it's not okay for a baker. You saw they spit the baby in the bathwater with the water last night, right? You saw they spit the baby?
Yeah, coach, that's called compromise.
Yeah, it's compromise. That's right. They split the baby last night. And I can promise you this. Behind closed doors, they did it on purpose. That the 7-3 majority threw us a bone, threw the other side a bone when two guys said, okay, listen, I'll flip. I'll go on that other side. And we'll go 5-4 on the other one. But ultimately, don't ever miss this. The 5-4 decision, which said that hospitals have the right to tell people to wear masks, the 5-4 decision only went that way because the hospital takes government money. If you read the ruling, that was the bottom line. Because hospitals take government money, therefore the government has the right to take away your rights. Do you see this, friends? Do you see how this lines up now? Do you see where this goes? I got to ask you a question. Are you going to be standing in line? Hey, are you going to have to take a vaccine to vote? Is that coming? Going to make you take a vaccine to vote? I noticed something else too last night. They're building a wall on the White House, but not on a border. Something crazy going on in America, isn't it, friends? Something really, really crazy going on. Come on in, Joe Carrico.
Thanks, Coach. I haven't read the opinion or even the summary of it, but I believe it's probably the interest of the federal and that that was how they justified that. And they probably did do a compromise, just like you said.
Yeah.
But that's how they hang their hat on some line of constitutional decision.
Bottom line is this. You take government money, they own you. That's the bottom line, friends.
If you take government money, they can tell you what to do.
That's the that's the church. Money, there's your church. They take federal money, they got you. Brian Cunningham, come on in, then James J.
Yeah, Coach, last night my wife and I were talking about this. I think they got exactly what they wanted. They got the military and they got the medical establishment. What two industries will help break down America? You take those two out, then where are we standing?
Amen.
Hello.
Because I think I did it. Pull up, it says SCOTUS. Pull it up real quick. Hang on, guys. I know you want to get in. I got to make this point real quickly. Go to SCOTUS, Spence. And it's the Constitution. We'll show you something. Everybody wants to go to the First Amendment, right? I want to go to the Fourth Amendment. Go to the Fourth Amendment. Boom. Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons. Bang! It's over. You see that? If they can invade my person with a shot, I don't have a Fourth Amendment right. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. It's over, friends. I think, are they going to tell me taking a shot's not unreasonable? Is that what they're going to tell me? That's reasonable? Who gets to determine that? They are little by little gnawing away at the foundations, friends. And see, it happens with things like this, where they slip this over on us and we don't even think about it. The right of the people to be secure in their persons. Hey, Larry, how do you become secure in their persons? When those guys were writing that, secure in their persons, what were they thinking? What could you... If I'm Thomas Jefferson or I'm James Madison, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, what did that mean? It meant something, didn't it? But see, you don't hear anybody even talking about this. You don't hear anybody at all talking about the vaccine being a violation of the Fourth Amendment. And wasn't it nice we saw the Supreme Court said, oh, that you still can have medical exemptions and what was the other one? Religious exemptions. Oh, yeah, well, good. Hell, they just don't grant them. You'll have them, but they just don't grant them. What a convoluted. See, it's compromise. It's all compromise. See where that leads us. See where it takes us. Jim, come on in. James, Jim, come on in. And Craig, I'm running down.
Two things this morning, Coach. I said to my wife last night after the ruling came out is that what sense does it make to have rule in two different manners for private companies and for the healthcare system?
Yep.
I think they're just going to recognize at some point they're giving an open door to universal healthcare run by the government. It's all going to be government healthcare.
Jim, if they give you money, you are their slave.
Right. One thing that really agitated me this morning, Coach, on a kind of a side note, get an email from a coworker. I have a sick child. She's been throwing up all night. I'm going to try to get her in to get tested. She's got the flu.
Wow.
Got the flu. God's sakes.
Well, that's where we are, isn't it? That's flu season. That's what's going around now is a common cold and flu season. They're calling it a variant, right? We're so freaking stupid. I'm telling you. Don Boston, Craig.
Hey, Coach, just remember, Supreme Court don't make law.
That's right.
They don't make law.
And they certainly don't evaluate it very well either, do
Mr.
they?
Mr. Bruner's right. There's lines of people still going around hospitals trying to get tested. They're nuts.
Yeah, that's right. They're nuts. Craig.
Well, Coach, we're living in the times of Exodus again, okay? Might be a different Exodus. But I would, if you can, have Spencer pull up Exodus 19, verse 3 through 6, and maybe Silver could read that. There's also another verse that you need to bring up, which would be Deuteronomy 7, 6-8, it addresses peculiar people, but it kind of goes into something that, you know, I really pondered, you know, over some of the last weeks and with the Supreme Court and what was going on. And if you really think about it, what happened is Pharaoh went and said, hey, let my people go. And what happened is they kept pushing down on God's people. But what happened is the more they pushed down on God's people, the curses came upon them, okay? His people were covered, all right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't get affected by it. I believe that this is the times that we live in. And I would look, and I really was in prayer about this, that those in the positions of authority, i.e. the Supreme Court, don't look for the future and see what happens to those who voted against the people and who have upheld unjust things, and see what happens in their lives. We might have some Supreme Court openings in the next few months.
I hope about six of them took the shot of you. Amen, Craig. Amen. Hey, I want to get to communion. Let me get Clay in here real quick. Go ahead, Clay.
Coach, while all this is going down on us, there's people still claiming that Donald Trump is our president.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say that if he ever is recognized as president again, if he doesn't fix every bit of this and turn all of it around, then he is not helping, and he's the enemy.
Hey, friends, quit looking at Donald Trump. Will you stop it already? Will you guys stop it already? All politics is local. If Donald Trump gets back in office, he'll be in there for 4 years. Stop it already. I'd like to see Trump be president again. Stop it already. Stop it. It's local. It's Christian. It's God-fearing. It's truth. It's justice. It begins at home. It begins in our schools. It begins in our local communities. I don't need a confused United States Supreme Court to give direction to my life. I don't need them.
Amen.
In fact, it just shows how lost they are. How lost they are. How could John Roberts and Kavanaugh switch sides unless it was rigged? So on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and sat down with his disciples, and he said to them, boys, I got a long road ahead of me, and they're going to beat me, and they're going to bruise me, and they're going to, wow. But I want you to know that I've laid down my life for you. And this represents my body, which is going to be broken for you. And as often as you sit down and you eat, and as often as you sit down and drink, I want you to remember remember what I did for you. Broke my body. When we got done with the bread, poured out a little bit of wine. And they said, hey, don't ever drink wine. It's a sin to drink alcohol.
Coach fucks little boys up the ass.
No, he didn't say that. No, I don't. And you must if you want to talk about it, dude.
You're a punk, buddy. You're a punk.
You're sick. And so he took the blood, cup of his blood, wine. He said, this is a cup of my blood. The new and everlasting covenant. Blood of a new and everlasting covenant, a new covenant. One that's ratified not by goats and bulls and sheep and chickens, but by our Savior. He said, I shed it for you for the remission of sin. And every time you sit down, you have something to eat and you have something to drink. Wherever you are in your life, whatever you're doing in your walk, every time you do this, remember what I did for you. And we don't. We don't remember what he did for us. We compromise him out of every aspect of our life. We go into school and he's not allowed to be mentioned there. We go into politics, you're not even allowed to talk about it. Look at medicine. Medicine is about as anti-Christian as you could possibly get. every aspect that of life that we're dealing with today is an exaltation of man and the plans of man. And it comes straight from Beelzebub himself. When he said, I will be exalted. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High God. And we're living in a time and an age when you walk into a room and you say, wait a minute, there's another way and it ain't medicine. There's another way and it ain't politics. There's another way and it is the way. And you're an outcast and you're peculiar. And that's where we are. So I don't know about you guys. I thank God today that he made me the way I am. And I thank God I'm a thorn in the shoe of a lot of people. I thank God for people like Amen. Jeff Klein who stand up and speak up and don't compromise. And the only way that we're going to be able to progress wherever we are, whatever's going to happen in our lives, the only way we're going to move forward is those of us who say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. But see, friends, it's more than the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto redemption. It's a power of God unto restoration. It's the power of God into everything, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those of us who carry that name, we are to be the what? We're supposed to be the town crier about Jesus. Peculiar. Don't know what to say. Don't know when to say it. Come on in, Larry. You've been waiting a while. Go ahead. Can't hear you. Muted.
It's a shame that so many people don't understand that discerning the body of Christ incorrectly can bring sickness and even death to a person. So as we take this communion, as we just took it, let's all remember what we owe each other. We owe Jesus all our love, strength, and we're all a part of Jesus. So we owe each other all of our love and our strength, encouragement, et cetera, et cetera.
Joe Allen and Myra, then Dale. Go, Joe.
Coach, as we talk about peculiar, the FBI just came down with a new law.
Arrested Stuart Rhodes, arrested him. Yep.
Yeah, on Stuart Rhodes. So that instead of getting charged for being out there in public against homosexuals, against abortion, we used to get charged for trespassing. And now we're looking at a charge that we will get conspiracy.
Sedition. They changed it. They changed it. It went from insurrection to sedition. They changed it, Joe.
Right.
They lost the other battle. They changed the assault.
A new charge.
A new charge. Myra.
Yes. In regard to what Brother Nichols said about Exodus, the Lord is definitely going to protect us. Isaiah 13:11, and I will punish the world for their evil. Thank you.
He will for sure too. Dale.
Amen, brother. The fragrance of God. This is an incredible thing. That guy didn't even realize how prophetic. Here you are doing communion. The devils were waiting to pounce on Jesus. The second he got done with that communion, went into the garden. But brother, had they known what they had done, as it says in Corinthians, they would not have crucified the Son of Glory. Going back, I'm bouncing all over. Article 4 of the Constitution, right?
It says this, brother, also.
Can't hear you.
American currency, mind your own business. All Supreme Court justices got the jabs and the boosters. They should have rescinded themselves from that decision yesterday.
Sure they should have. Sure they should have. They're not going to do that. Denny Bryan, come on in.
I haven't heard the whole conversation today, but I want to tell you, first experience of actually getting kicked out of a church. My own, because I had too much Jesus. They text me yesterday. I was trying to rent our campgrounds up in Eldora, and I was going to have 60 new speakers and do a whole weekend, you know, Coach?
Yeah.
And when I called them, they said, yeah, we have nothing booked in May, and you pick a weekend. I said, I was picking a weekend, and I was starting to call people. And then I got a text yesterday. They go, well, you know, people come down and complain that you guys are too radical and you, conspiracy theorists.
Good. Sue them. Sue them, Denny.
It's my own church. Oh, my God.
Oh, amen. Peculiar people. Embrace it. Embrace it. Have a great weekend. Mike Blakes. Come on, see y'all. Mike Blakes tomorrow morning. I forgot to talk all about that. Oh, my goodness. See you there tomorrow. God bless you.